Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's gospel. Jesus said to them, "I came to cast fire on the earth and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, one thing I've really noticed about Corvallis since I've lived in this area is all the bumper stickers out there. And if you have bumper stickers, I'm not criticizing you or anything, but I mean, just about everybody does have a bumper sticker. In fact, I've seen a couple cars where I can't actually see the car. I mean, it is complete. Have you ever seen that car? There's like three or four of them around here where every inch of the car is covered in bumper stickers. Now, they can be a little distracting because I always want to read what they have to say, and especially if when the print's really small, you know, and you have to get up really close, you know, and that usually says something like, if you can read this, back off, or something like that. And sometimes the bumper stickers are humorous. I think a lot of the times they are. Sometimes I'm confused by them. Like I saw one that says, "I love carbs." And then I saw one really confusing. It says, "I'm gluten-free and I vote." Is there a vote on gluten? I mean, I don't know how I feel about gluten, but, you know, didn't vote on it. Yes, but most of the time, I'll say probably 50% of the time, the bumper stickers seem to be kind of divisive. It has something to do with some cultural problem or issue, or it'll have something to do with politics. And I wonder why they would put those on their bumper sticker. In fact, I saw one bumper sticker that kind of got me to thinking about this, because it basically said, it's just the words were, "Wow, that bumper sticker sure made me change my mind." Signed, nobody, okay? Do people put bumper stickers on their car to change people's minds? I don't think so. Can you picture Nancy Pelosi driving in downtown D.C., and seeing a pro-Trump bumper sticker and saying, "You know what, on second hand, he seems like a pretty good guy." It's not going to happen, okay? So I think the main reason people put bumper stickers on their cars, if not to entertain, is to show this is my identity and to project that identity. See, our identity has to do with our relationships, how we hold on to things and causes and people, etc. And since everybody has their own identity, there's bound to be a lot of division. And you can look around the world, in particular our society, and you see a lot of division. Now, that is not the division that Jesus is talking about in this text. He's talking about a division that is because of him, but is not by him. He's talking about a very specific kind of division. Now, you read the text, especially the first couple verses, and it seems like it is by Jesus, right? He goes, "I want there to be a fire, and I want that fire kindled." Now, I read a lot of commentaries that really tried to tone that down and said, well, he's speaking metaphorically, of course, and by fire he means, you know, something that cleanses or something that forgives or something that makes righteous, things like that. Okay, yeah, many times in Scripture fire is used that way as a metaphor. Towards that meaning. Not in this text. In this text, you have to understand it in its context. And the context, as we heard last week, is the servants better be prepared for the master to come, because if the servants aren't prepared, they will be judged, because judgment is coming. And so Jesus talks a lot about judgment here. But again, this judgment is because of Jesus, but it's not by Jesus. Now, the first people who heard these words of Jesus were probably really excited. They're just about time, right? Finally, some judgment and fire is going to go at those guys over there, right? The Romans, the Gentiles, the sinners, the tax collectors, whoever was not them. They're finally going to get theirs. Problem is, Jesus doesn't, he's not speaking to Pharisees or tax collectors or sinners or even the religious leaders. Doesn't say that. It says he said this to them, because they all have a problem. The problem is Their primary relationship is wrong. And if you really want to see the primary relationship that gives us our identity, which is right, you just have to look at Jesus. Because Jesus' primary relationship was to his Father. He says, I came from my Father. I'm doing my Father's will. I and the Father are one. That is his primary relationship that gives him identity. Now, does that mean he doesn't have any other relationships? No. It's just the primary one. He's got a relationship with disciples, with his family. All the people who come to him wanting to be healed and loved and forgiven, they certainly, he has a relationship with them, and he identifies with them. And just because in Scripture Jesus says you must hate the world and love God more than anyone, he certainly isn't saying that we're not supposed to love everyone. What he's saying is our primary relationship defines all other relationships. We don't love our children because they're the center of our world, because they're not. God the Father is. And he's the one who calls us to love our children and empowers us to do so. And empowers them to love us too. We don't care for the downtrodden because they're the center of the world. No, they're not. God the Father is the center of our world. He's our primary relationship, and he's the one who calls us to bring justice in the world and act justly to the people in our lives. He's the one who defines this relationship. The problem is, the primary relationship we have has gone wrong. Jesus talks a lot about judgment here. These are very strong words. But we have to understand the primary judgment that he's talking about here is fire that's coming. He describes it as a baptism. And he says he is in turmoil until that baptism comes. That word in Greek is very specific. And if I can just the best way I can describe it to myself what this word means is I picture myself my last year at the seminary, finals week, and I wanted to get this over with. And I had been studying week after week after week. And I finally got to a point where I just said, I don't care if I get an F. I just want this over with. And the baptism Jesus is speaking of is the cross. And so the primary judgment here Jesus is speaking about is the judgment that is going to be poured out by God on him when he's dying on the cross. The secondary judgment is the fire that is poured out on those who reject the grace that was shown on the cross. And by nature, all human beings have done this, starting with Adam and Eve. We all have a myriad of primary relationships other than God, but it all boils down to one relationship, and that's the primary relationship is with ourselves. And when Adam and Eve's eyes were opened to what they had done, they ran and hid from God. But what did God do? He tracked them down. He gave them a promise. The promise that someday he would send a Savior that would restore this broken relationship with him and would finally get them back into the garden again. And it's in this primary relationship we live in today. Because God has also found us, the lost sheep. And God kept the promise by sending his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that was rightfully ours. And the Son is with us every day of our lives and finally promises someday to take us back into the garden again. Until then, we are called to live in the truth of this primary relationship with our Heavenly Father, one he created, one he causes to grow, one he maintains every day. We live in that truth, and we speak this truth to a world that definitely doesn't want to hear it. Even if we put it on a bumper sticker, they don't want to hear it. But we still tell this good news. Number one, because it's the truth. Number two, because God tells us to. And number three, because there are still lost sheep that need to be found. Still those living in the darkness who need to see God's light. There's still lost sheep who need to meet their good shepherd. I pray that the Lord above, who created this relationship with us and maintains it, that he helps us rejoice in this relationship today and find opportunities to share it with those who have never known it. In Jesus' name, amen. This time now we receive our offering.